All right. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 15 here this morning. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Familiar story to everybody here, the story of the prodigal son. And I'm not going to read the whole thing at the beginning. I will be back through it to review it throughout the sermon. If you had just began, the prodigal son has returned, and the father has gladly received him. Elder brother is not so thrilled. It says in verse 25, Luke 15, 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said unto him, Thy brother is come. Thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. Let's bow our heads there and pray. Now, Father, we are really glad that there sit in this room here this morning an awful lot of prodigal sons that were once dead, but now they're alive. They once were lost and are now found. We are able to rejoice in that, Father, and I pray that this morning that you might just shed light on a phrase that you've used here. Father, it's a unique phrase to the entire Bible. It's only used here, and for that reason it caught my attention. I pray, Lord, you might expand upon it and use it. We've had a joyous week here this week. Again, sometimes we wish that we could bear fruit maybe in a different way than we are. More specifically, we wish there were some things that would happen that don't happen a lot. At the same time, Father, we see some young people excited to serve you. We see folks who have spent a long time in patient waiting for you to bring the right person along. And then to see a church filled with lost folks that receive the gospel. Father, it's a blessing. I just pray that you'd help here this morning. Again, strengthen your people for the continued battle and whatever the next battle is that comes along. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I call your attention down to verse 27. The text, the main part of the text this morning is it says there that your father, your brother's come, your father has killed the fatted calf because he hath received that prodigal son, and the Bible says he's received him safe and sound. As I stated, that phrase, safe and sound, is unique to the Word of God. To this one singular spot. In that regard, it's a lot like the word Calvary. The word Calvary only shows up one singular time in the Bible, and yet it's finds itself throughout all of Christian hymns and singing and such. It's amazing the power of the Word of God, where in one singular usage of the word Calvary, which by the way is not even in the New Bibles, you have a word that is absolutely permeated. Christian thought. It's kind of the same thing with this phrase, safe and sound. That is, first of all, it designates that there's a happy ending to this story, a story that winds up, that starts out anyway, a terrible tragedy to this father and this this family winds up on good terms because the prodigal son is received safe and sound. And again, the only time in the Bible that phrase is used. And the reason I think that, along those lines, is that this is a phrase that I have heard for my entire life. I don't know, you've probably heard it off and on too. Those two things, safe and sound, reflect two major concerns that people have in this life. We Americans tend to be even a little preoccupied with safety. Maybe not so much us rednecks, but there are certain folks that certainly are. I mean, safety, safety, safety. Don't get me wrong. I believe in safety, but safety meetings, safety belts, safety bags, safety helmets, immunization, fire alarms, burglar alarms, CO2 alarms, all of which are legitimate, I understand, but warning beepers, warning signs, warning stickers. If you ever watch TV and happen to see one of the advertisements for whatever the newest medication is for high blood pressure or cholesterol or depression or whatever. You know, it's going to solve your depression issues, but you may grow another arm out of your right shoulder blade because there are included in all these things, you know, boils and hives and piles and a little bit of everything that these things might cost you. There are side effects. There are warnings. There are safety issues. And so that's one of the things that folks are really, really concerned about. I heard a mother once give her testimony. I think it was on the news, and she said, you know, her son just got sentenced to the next 40 years in prison. But she said, I'm just glad because he's going to be safe in prison. Whatever. But safe. Especially Americans are preoccupied today with safe. And then along comes a 9/11 or another school shooting, and we realize we're not all that safe. Amen? Then there's sound. Folks talk about having a sound mind. Talk about soundness of health, a sound job. Oh, our marriage is sound. Our family is sound. Our family's financial status is sound. Sound, sound, sound. And then again, something happens with the economy or with somebody's health, and you realize that safe and sound is indeed a great blessing if you have both of those conditions together. Well, the Bible here talks about a prodigal son that was received safe and sound. It is a phrase that's not at all out of date. I wonder when you think of somebody being safe and sound, if you think of it in the Bible terms. It's kind of a funny thing when you stop and think about it. It's the prodigal son, somebody that's been wanton and wasteful and away from God and away from father and away from family. He is the only guy in the Bible that it's stated that he's safe and sound. So I thought it would be worthwhile to define safe and sound in biblical terms here this morning. And so very simply, I'm going to tell you what safe and sound, first of all, is not. Then I'll tell you what the Bible says that safe and sound is. So safe and sound. First of all, I just want to say down in verse 12, and the younger of them, I should go ahead and start with verse 11. He said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. He divided unto them his living, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. It said in verse 12 that the son is younger. It's also obvious the son wanted to be free. The son wanted to have liberty away from his father's rules and regulations and such. So first thing I want to say, safe and sound is not youth and freedom. The prodigal son was a young man. And sometimes young men, and for that matter, young women and some folks that are too old to be young anymore, seem to have this misconception that somehow they are indestructible, and that there's just something about strength and things going fine for now and having the world opened up before you. The world is your apple. There's something about youth, and sometimes it's not just young men, it's young women as well sometimes, and they tend to think that their youth shields them from some major catastrophe in life. But I want to tell you something. Just because you're young doesn't mean you're safe and sound. And just because you're young and have the latitude and liberty and freedom to do, for now, what you want to do, it doesn't mean that you're safe and sound. This guy thought he was fine, I'm sure, but he really wasn't fine. Safe and sound is not the same as youth and freedom. This young man was probably made proud by his youth. And as far as freedom is concerned, for the first time in his lifetime, after he left the father's house with all the father's goods that were owed him, he left and did what he wanted to do. He had liberty. He had so-called freedom. He was released from the rules and regulations. He was released from the thou shalt and thou shalt not. He was released for the first time in his lifetime from his father looking over his shoulder and saying, that's right or that's wrong, or that should be done different or that should be done better. And he thought there for a while when he had his, while he had his youth and while his money held out, he thought that he was safe and sound. But that's not safe and sound. You don't have to walk very far in this room to find somebody that knows a young person that thought the world was his apple in his youth and went out with all the zeal and fervor and went out and took the world by the horns, and the world promptly drove him into the ground. Safe and sound is not the same as youth and freedom. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And there is a justifiable and an honorable freedom and liberty. I'm glad for the freedoms that we have in America. All too often, though, and it's not just the young, all too often, though, folks abuse those freedoms and abuse those liberties. And because we live in a country where basically, beyond breaking the law, you can do what you want to do. It's not the same as safe and sound. You can get yourself in plenty of trouble with the Lord and still obey the law of the land. Youth and freedom is not the same as safe and sound. I want to say that safe and sound is also not the same as getting your way. It's very plain in verse 12. The young man is self-willed and wants to self-govern. His father has stood over him for all of his lifetime like most of our fathers did. And in verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, divided unto them his living. So for the first time in his life, the son was out from under his father's regulations. For the first time in his life, he got everything he wanted laid at his feet with the freedom to go do with it what he wanted to. So many people think that they're perfectly capable of governing completely their own lives. And all too often, especially the young, and especially the cocky, and especially the proud, go off and do nothing but make a mess. I just want to say, safe and sound is not the same as getting your way. The Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible says later in Proverbs, the way of man is froward. It's contrary, it's cantankerous, he's froward and strange. Being safe and sound is not the same as getting your way. The Lord knows, you learn a little bit later down in the passage, you can do what you want to do, but the Lord controls the weather, and you don't. And He can send a famine in places that you never imagined, and you can't control it, and you can't stop it. All you've got money in your pocket, and you've got strength in your back and thighs, and you can, you know, you can pick up a yearling heifer if you have to, and you have money in your pocket to buy your friends. But the truth of the matter is, you're not in as much control as you think you are. And you're not as smart as you think you are. I'm telling you, safe and sound is not the same as youth and freedom. Safe and sound is not the same as getting your way. I want to say further, down in verse 13, it says there that not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance. There goes his money with riotous living. Now, notice that in describing the riotous living, the son later says in verse 30, as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots. The riotous living involved harlots. I just want to say that being safe and sound is not the same as having money and friends. This guy had money in his pocket, and whatever else you can say, you're going to hook up with somebody and be a companion and a friend with somebody. This guy hooked up with harlots and lived with them. They were his companions, they were his friends, and he was not safe and sound. Some folks think that as long as they have money in their pockets and whatever friends they can gather around them that money can buy, that they're good. And folks, many is the man whom their companions have destroyed. The companion of fools shall be destroyed. I just want to say, money and companions is not the same as being safe and sound. Most of us that are adults here of my generation anyway, and certainly those older and probably those younger, either have, should have, or could have learned a lesson from your life so far, and that is not all friends are profitable. And many of us flirted with disaster and maybe even conceived disaster in our lives in the past by the friends that we had. Money and friends is not the same thing as safe and sound. This is what safe and sound is not. Not done yet either. Look at verse 13 again. Very plain from verse 13 that the young man had a good time. Having a good time is not the same thing as safe and sound. There's a three-letter word in America that has taken over lots of people's lives. I've used it often and will use it again. It's not like it's a profane word or anything. If we have some game night here and play ping pong and we all have fun together, fun is fun. That's fine. But you do understand that fun has become God in many people's lives. In fact, having all this computing power on your belt has become obsessive with some because there's so much fun to be had with this little thing that hangs in a holster on a man's belt. There are games, there are friends, there are all manner of communications. I can't even name all the ways that you can communicate on an iPhone with somebody. You can blog, you can surf, you can email, you can iNote or iMessage or whatever it's called. You can Facebook. You can FacePrint or whatever. FacePlant, whatever it is where you actually hold it up and they can see it. Whatever it is. I don't know. There are so many ways to communicate. It's just so much fun. So I want you to know that fun is not the same thing. Having a good time is not the same thing as safe and sound. The fact that you have privileges in that way doesn't mean a lot. Did you know, and again, I'm not opposed to using the word, if we go out and, you know, shoot guns, hey, I'll come back and say, hey, I had fun. And I would have. But you do understand that as far as the Bible usage of the word, the Bible is funless. There's no fun in the Bible. And I say that to a generation of people that sometimes have made an idol out of fun. In fact, so much so that now people no longer go to church for the Word of God. They go to church somewhere because the church is fun. Well, ladies and gentlemen, something is wrong with that. I just want to say that just because you're in church and things are going fine and you have money and you have youth and you have strength and you go to a place where you have fun, that's not the same thing as safe and sound, just so you know. If you'll notice down in verse 15, he went, it says in verse 15, and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. In fact, in verse 14, I should have preceded it with that. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, so he wasn't as safe as he thought he was. Amen? It goes on to say in verse 14, he began to be in want. So this guy is nowhere near as safe and sound as he thought he was. In fact, if you go down to verse 17, he says, I perish with hunger. He's not as safe and sound as he thought. In fact, in verse 17, it says, when he came to himself, that is, he was out of his mind in sin. He was not as safe and he was not as sound as he thought. In fact, he was not safe and sound at all. I just want to say that worldly security, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. He got a job. And worldly security is not the same thing as safe and sound. You know? It's nice to have a steady job. It's nice to make a good living. But you don't have to walk very far or research very deeply to find somebody that had all those things and the rug was pulled out from under them. I just want to say that a career and a successful job or whatever is not the same thing as safe and sound. In our country, you know, in a place where the American dream has, people's concept of the American dream have drawn generations to this country, have imparted a work ethic for generations in the past at least, and still does for some of you, you just need to understand that you can work your fingers to the bone and you can, you know, build a humongous retirement and you can have more money than you can spend. That still doesn't mean, that's not the same thing as safe and sound. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ called a man a fool who had successfully in business built everything to the extent he needed to tear down his old barns and build a new barns so that he could put up all his crops. And he said, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." Being secure in this world is not the same thing as being safe and sound. But I'd like to say something further along that line. Look down in verse 16. "And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him." He's gotten down near the bottom of the barrel. And here's a young man that left his home and had money in his pocket. Didn't take him long to buy some friends. It was hard to see the end of that money, boy. He spent for a while, but pretty soon the end started coming. He found himself to be in want. In fact, he found himself to be in famine. Found that he was not as safe and sound as he thought he had been. And I'd like to say, in this respect, that safe and sound is not the same thing as envying pigs. He said he fain would have filled the husks that the swine... He stood there at the pig pen and goes, "Man, I wish I had some of that." Well, envying pigs is not the same as being safe and sound. I have to watch my sense of humor here, my sense of irony. Because in talking about pigs, I could talk about some bimbo superstars. I could make a few comments about reprobate athletes that are idolized by young men and young women, and for that matter, young men and young women in our world. Envying pigs, when you come down to the point of envying pigs, and if you say, "Oh, you're calling names," the Bible calls lost people dogs. It also calls lost people hogs. I mean, you ever heard about the dogs going back to their vomit, or the sows to the wallowing in the mire? Well, those are lost people. I just want to say, when you get down to the point of envying the dregs of society, when you go to the pig pen and you look upon some of the movie stars that some folks think are the grandest thing on this earth. You know, there was a day in the past that a bunch of hippies would get on stage, and by our standards today, those hippies were even looked relatively clean. Think about Elvis, whatever is the case. For long years, Elvis was a fairly decent-looking, clean-cut guy. And so he would come out on stage with his guitar and his sequin suit, and the girls would go, "Ah!" Well, nowadays, people do that to folks that come out on stage more than half-naked. They are tattooed from the top of their head to the bottom side of their little toe. They are pierced through with 1,000 nails. And people go, "Oh!" I just want to say, if you think you're safe and sound, I can assure you that being safe and sound is not the same as envying hogs. Thank you very much. The offering's already been taken. You're free to go. And lastly, in verse 16, there's another thing I would say there. And I'm just telling you what it's not. I'll tell you in just 1 second what it is. Verse 16. He would fain. That means that he would gladly, willingly, and thankfully have filled his belly with the husks the swine did eat. I just want to say that the degradation of your desires is not safe and sound. Where you find yourself longing for pig food, that's not the same thing as being safe and sound, that's for sure. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Would you agree? When you start hungering after and longing for the filth of this world, and I guess I might as well make somebody else mad. Think about artists and think about the nonsense that gets passed off as art and music. Now, for somebody that can draw a flower or a landscape, man, I appreciate that art. But when somebody draws something that doesn't look like a flower and says, look, a flower. It's my interpretation of a flower. And it looks like the backside of a donkey. That's not art. And, of course, there's worse things. And I simply say to you that the degradation of your desires is not the same thing. I like books. I'm at the library fairly often. And, you know, I used to think that when I went through Walmart, or Cub Foods for that matter, and went through their little book sections, or when I went, got on the wrong aisle, because I don't read romances. I thought for a long time that the romance aisle at the library where you have the Studley Du Bois with his shirt off and the girl hanging on him, you know, I thought it was just a lady book, you know, girly stuff. Come to find out, one day, in my naivete, I pick up one of the books and go, like that, and whoa, this is not girly romance, hissy-wissy stuff. This is open, blatant, godless porn. And since that day, I can't help but notice sometimes, you know, there's a lady at, or multiple ladies at the health club, you know, I don't know, 60, 65-year-old lady, and she's got her book as she walks on the treadmill or whatever, and she's got the book open, she's reading it, and it's one of those books. I'm watching grandmothers in public read something that I now know full well is godless porn without the pictures. Now, men have a problem sometimes with picture porn. Well, then I learned that really a lot of those books with Studley Du Bois with his shirt off on the cover of the book, that stuff is every bit as bad. And here's Grandma sitting and riding the bike at Fitness 19 reading one of those books. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm just saying that it's not safe and sound when you find your desires degraded. Boy, I have killed the spirit today. It was a good day yesterday, wasn't it? Well, I just want to say that I want to tell you now what safe and sound is. At least I want to tell you what safe and sound can involve. I want to say, first of all, that safe and sound can include a past of wasteful and terrible transgression. Here's a guy that is defined as going out and living riotously. And by that, his brother said he's gone out and wasted his entire substance on harlots. Well, folks, that's a degrading thing. There are lots of folks that the word prodigal means extraordinary waste. It means wanton. It means extraordinary wastefulness. And I just want to say before I go further that I'm not going to justify anything here, because you should always remember sin always leaves you worse than it found you. I learned that from Dr. Ruckman. At least he's the first one I ever heard that said it. It's true. Sin always leaves you worse than it found you. You will always, in some manner or way or shape, be scarred. You will always have a proclivity to go back down that road once you started traveling to start with, even after you've gotten right. Once sin is known, it always pleases for you to come back and revisit. It's the way sin is. There's always a crop sown that you will one day in some way, shape, manner, or form have to reap. But having said that and having understood that those things are true, nevertheless, the prodigal son repents, and the prodigal son goes home. And it was then that the prodigal son was said to be safe and sound. I'm telling you, safe and sound can include a past of terrible and horrific transgressions. If we went around the room here this morning and everybody was brutally honest, and let's not be, please, we could turn the air blue with all the things that in the bad old days that we have committed against our God. Amen? There are sins represented here this morning, in fact, probably every single person here, that if it were publicized in public, you would be completely disgraced and shamed for having your sin exposed in that way. There are things that I propose to never speak of that I've been a part of when I was young and stupid and in my sins. That said, we've all been pretty bad. And I just want to say that sometimes what you find is that people have a hard time recovering from that. I just want to say that I realize that you're left scarred by it. I realize there are crops sown. I realize that you still see shades of it at times. And I understand that it always pleads for a reason to come back and see me sometime. The fact of the matter is, the prodigal son, after having done all that, came back to the father, was in the father's house, and he was safe and sound. And so I want to say, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've transgressed in your lifetime, I want you to know whether you are saved or lost. And I should just stop and say, lost people are not safe and sound, no matter what their circumstances. They teeter on the brink of eternity every single heartbeat. All a lost man's heart has to do is stop beating. He's dead and in hell right then. Okay? That is not safe and sound. And by the same token, somebody that's saved, if his heart stops, he's not going to hell, that's for sure. But as long as you are wayward, as long as the Lord is trying to correct you, you're not safe and sound. But I just want to say that after you've messed up, and after you've gotten right, and after you've realized that once the blood of Christ is applied, once a Christian repents of his sins and turns back to the Father and goes back home, that Christian can be just as safe and sound as anybody else on the face of this earth. I want you to know that safe and sound can include a past of horrible transgression, of unspeakable things that you wish not to utter. If you're still laboring under the burdens of sins that God forgave a long time ago through the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're allowing that to torture you, I just want you to know, you need to give it up. Because I want you to know that once back in the arms of the Father, you are safe and sound. Safe and sound can include a past of wasteful and terrible transgression. Look down in verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" I want to say that being safe and sound begins with a desire, once again, for the Father's graces. This guy had once been loved, warm, sheltered, and in fellowship with his father back in the day that he was still home. He had once been safe and sound. And then he had gone out on his own, gotten his money, bought himself his friends, had his fun, spent all his money, and found himself in a pigsty. And he was no longer safe and sound. But him one day again becoming safe and sound began with a desire for his father's graces. When this guy left home, there was nothing that he hated more than that stinking farm that he'd grown up on. There was nothing that he hated worse than the continual schedule and the mundane cycle of planting and sowing and plowing and reaping and chores and eating at a certain time and getting up at a certain time going to bed at a certain time and working the cattle at a certain time and doing all that stuff. It was just a prison. It was just a trap. All the love that his father had bestowed upon him as his youngest son, and perhaps the mother's dead, we're not sure, but the servants that were hired that served him, the labors that were put forth, the graces he found there, the love, home, companionship that was fruitful in righteousness, all those things he'd grown to hate. And he went out on his own, spent his money on the harlots, wound up friendless and in a pigsty, and there came a day that the Bible says he came to himself. I would like to stop there and say there's a little bit of madness in sin. He had to come to himself to get right. I don't know how many times you've seen it, but I've seen it often enough. In fact, I've experienced it in my own heart. A guy gets off in sin and he's just a little bit crazy because he's not thinking right. And there comes a point a man gets so miserable that he comes to himself and he starts to think right a little bit. I just want to say that this guy started thinking right, finally. And he realized all of a sudden, after spending all this money and wasting all this inheritance and having the companionship, if you could call it that, that he had had for the last 6 months or a year or 2 years, whatever it was, he woke up one morning in the pigsty, and you know what? You know, all that he wanted in this life was to return to that farm that his father had worked for all those years, where all the graces of the father were, the comforts of home, the warm food, an occupation that awaited him there. He could work cattle and farm those fields for the rest of his life. All he wanted was to get back under the graces of the father. My opinion, and I learned this for myself, I was wayward as a Christian after high school and on into college. And I thought that I was going to take the world by the throat and own it, and it was going to squeal for me. It was going to deliver to me all of it, all the goods that I wanted. And I learned pretty quickly the world was too big for me to handle. And so there came a day after 4 or 5 hard, solid years fully immersed in the world, that when I looked, all I wanted was a place where I could rest. I was just tired of being beaten up. I was tired of not knowing. I was tired of not knowing answers. I was tired of not even knowing the right questions. I was just tired of being made a fool of in my sins and always and ever being unrequited and dissatisfied. And I found myself looking back on a life where my mom and dad had loved me and I had been relatively sheltered from the world. We had gone to a little country church and my grandmothers and my grandfathers and my aunts and uncles loved me and my cousins and I played together and life was simple and life was safe and I was in my right mind and I didn't have all these problems. And I just want to say that it begins with desire, once again, for the Father's graces. I want to say further, down in verse 18, the Son says this. He says, "I will arise, I will arise and go to my Father. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." It comes at the price of contrition and humility and repentance. Sin comes at a high cost. You sell out yourself to it. You sow crops that you may never cease to reap. And there's so much that goes wrong. There's so much uncertainty. There's so much doubt. There are so many answers you don't have. There's so many questions you don't even understand you should even ask. And you wind up so broken and you wind up so miserable. And, you know, there comes a day that a man is broken enough that he just wants to go back and say, "Dad, I was wrong, and you were right, and I'd like to recover some things." You know, just tired of being broken, just tired of being empty. I just want to say that it comes at the price of contrition and repentance and humility. You know, it's too bad that folks today have done with the gospel what they've done. Because nowadays, in many places, the gospel is in service to me. It's to make me feel better. Okay, it's to make, it's to fulfill me, and it's to make me happy. And apparently, God doesn't get much out of it at all, because apparently, the Lord just exists to serve me. But that's not the gospel. And here in this passage, what is shown clearly is a son says, "I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. I have done wrong." He falls at his father's feet in humility. And I just want to say that being safe and sound, which is where he wound up in verse 27, being safe and sound begins with humility, with a guy saying, "I was wrong." Contrition. I mean, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. The son did not walk up to his father and demand to be allowed back into the graces. He did not think he deserved them. Indeed, he didn't. And indeed, none of us do. And I just want to say, safe and sound comes at the price of contrition and repentance. I want to say furthermore, a couple other things. Look down in chapter 18, and once again allow me to read. Notice what he says. He says, "I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." That's what he intended to do. Notice he said, "I will arise," in verse 18. So in verse 20, "and he arose." Now that's an interesting thing. Safe and sound is attained by both resolve and action. And I don't mean by a man's resolve. I resolve that I will do this. It's not like that. It's that the prodigal son said, "I will arise and go to my father." And you know, lo and behold, that's what he did. He did what he said he was going to do. He said, "I want to go back home." And so he went back home. I say this because this world is filled with lost people that have had the gospel presented. And they have every intention, perhaps, one day, when it's convenient, of dealing with the matter. I mean, they believe that what the preacher said is true. And so they say, "I will one day, when it's convenient, or when I'm on my deathbed, or when I am less busy, or once the kids are raised, or once I have this other problem solved, I will one day arise and go to my father." And they never go. So there's a lot of lost people that are in hell and will yet wind up in hell because they intended one day to deal with it and go, but never got around to it. And by the same token, the world is filled with saved people that know they need to go back to the Father. Their prayer life is a shambles. They know they need to go back to church. Their Christianity is a shamble. They have no power. Perhaps their children are lost because they've not lived the right example. Somebody that knows that they need to live right and do right for their children's sake. And they say, "One day I will. One day when it's more convenient. One day when I solve this other problem. One day when I get the bills paid off. One day when I have to quit working on Sunday. One day I will." And they never do. So it's in that respect that I say that being safe and sound is attained by both resolve and action. Because the prodigal son said, "I will arise." And then, miracle of miracles, that's exactly what he did. He arose and went. It's a great thing. But so many people say, "I will arise and go." And then don't. I want to say, down in verse 24, he is now back with his father. "For this, says the father, my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." I want to say that being safe and sound is having been lost, but now found. So for somebody that's saved, or somebody that's lost, somebody that's unsaved, somebody never been born again, I just want to know. I just want you to know, you are not safe, and you're not sound. You're the furthest thing from it. You teeter on a point every moment that you live. Every moment that you live by the grace and mercy of God. Because it is so simple to take a life for the Lord. And if your heart ever stops beating and you ever stop breathing, you're gone. I mean, you're gone. And you're in hell. I just want to say, if you've never been found, then you're still lost. Now listen, if you're saved, I personally would say, I mean, as long as we understand the terminology, I'd been saved for 10 years, and I was still lost. As far as without direction, I was a child of God and all those sort of things, but as far as having direction, as far as having a purpose for living, as far as being in the mercies and the graces of God, I really wasn't. And I just want you to know that I got saved. I got found when I got saved, and then I got found again when I got right. I just want you to know, folks, there's nothing like being found. There is nothing like going home again to the Father's graces, having been away for a long time, and experiencing once again what it is to be loved and to be cherished and to have graces and mercies poured out on you and the good things that God offers yours again. You're not safe and sound until you've been lost and found. I want to say something else briefly. Notice verse 24 again. This my son was dead. He is alive again. It is to be alive again. If you've never been saved, the Bible says you're dead in trespasses and sins. And you're not alive again. Now, there's another way to understand it as a Christian. There is a verse in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and it says that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she yet liveth. And I can say that, for my part, although the depths of my sin didn't go as deep as now you fairly commonly look around and find folks off in the depths, mine was deep enough that once I was found again, I felt I was alive again. Because there are some ways that I felt dead before. I had no answers. I had no direction. I had no joy. And it was miserable. How many of you remember, with freshness, the misery of being lost or the misery of being backslidden? Man, I remember when I think back. And I just want to say, you're not safe and sound until you've been lost and found. And you're not safe and sound until you're alive again. Last thing I would say is this. Safe and sound is being in the Father's presence. If you're saved, the Father and the person of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of the Father lives in you. And I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You're not safe and sound unless you're in your Father's presence. And you know, there's something to be said for Christians who are wayward and miserable. They're not under the Word of God. Nobody on a regular basis prays for them, because they have no brothers and sisters in Christ that know where they are. And they're not in church. They're not receiving the Word. They're not day by day renewed at all. There's a way that they're dead. And there's a way that they're lost. And I can say that because I've been there. And I just want to say that being safe and sound is being in the Father's presence. It sure is good to be in church with a bunch of people that have the Spirit of Christ living in their bodies like I do. It sure is nice being in a place where people come together like in a like-minded fashion, and this is home. And there are things that can still go wrong and undoubtedly will. But brethren, as much as we can have it in this life till we get to heaven, we are safe and sound. And I'm so glad. I really am. Let's bow our heads and pray. Now, Father, I pray this morning that you would deal with our hearts here. And if there's somebody here lost this morning, I pray that you deal with their hearts about their need for a Savior, their need for salvation, Father. It is easy to go through this life just like we were born the first time. Nothing ever to change, just kind of a downhill ride, a downhill slide to the end, and then we die. And Father, I just pray that you would open somebody's eyes to their need for a new birth, the reason that Jesus Christ came to this world to save sinners. Help them to see they need to be born again. Help them to see that they are dead in their sins. And help them to see there's a better way. There's a place where they can go, where there's home. And there's somebody that loves them. And there's somebody that will attend to them and give them grace and mercy. I pray that you'd help them. Father, for all the rest of us here that are saved, most of us have been down this path before where we've been out of kilter and been out of the walk and not serving you, having no answers, and sometimes not even knowing the questions. We know what it is to walk in darkness and without light. And Father, remind us of how dark the dark can be, how deep the misery can be even for a Christian. And I pray you'd make it real to us so that we can enjoy home and the presence of the Father and being safe and sound. Just remain with our heads bowed, our eyes closed just for another minute. Is there somebody here with nobody looking around that has never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is there somebody here that has no real assurance whatsoever that if the Lord required your life right now, if He called you into the grave right now, that you would go to heaven? Is there somebody here that's not sure they're going to heaven when they die? Because I have a deal for you. There's 24 people in this room that could lead you to Christ in a minute. And I wonder if you're born again. I wonder if you're safe and sound. Take a moment, too. I wonder if there's a Christian here this morning. Again, with nobody looking around, that's feeling a little lost. You've lost your way. And if not physically, if not in where you live, if you've not gone to the far country as such, still in your mind and heart, you've wandered away a little bit, been wanting with the resources God's given you, strayed away from the graces, strayed away from the mercies of home. You have no answers, and sometimes you don't know if you know the right questions. I wonder if there's somebody here that'd say, I'd appreciate prayer. Okay, I see your hand. If there's somebody else that'd just say, I've been away. I know what the pig pen's like. I'd like to come home. Anybody else like that? I'm not going to embarrass you. Okay, I see your hand. Anybody else? Kind of forgotten what it's like to be assured and certain and secure in the Father's living room at night. The fire's warm. The fellowship's been good. You've had supper. You know you're loved. You know you're secure. You know you're going to sleep in a fine bed tonight. And nobody's going to sneak in and do any damage to you. Anybody else? You just somehow lost track of all those things. Well, Father, for those who raised their hands this morning, I pray, Lord, that you'd be with them. And we can be assured of the love of God, which is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. Life gets confusing. We have so many curves thrown at us. The world throws so much propaganda at us, Father. I know how easy it is to get off thinking on the wrong track. Father, we are given certain promises and sure promises by the simple act of humility, by the simple change of mind and change of heart and wanting and desiring what's right and good, and wanting to be home again, and again to find oneself in a safe, secure spot near the Father's fire and the Father's love, with the Bible open and the light shining out of it. Father, I pray you'd give these assurance that that awaits anyone who will return, anyone who will simply turn to the Lord and say, I'm tired of the pig pen, and I'm tired of the uncertainty, and I want to come home. I will arise and go to my Father. Help them, Father, to find comfort and strength to do it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's stand. I'm going to be dismissed. Appreciate your patience today. I know you're tired. A lot of you have done a mule's burden worth of work here the last week or so, couple weeks. So I appreciate that. Appreciate your attentiveness this morning. Brother Kehoe, would you close us in prayer?
See you tonight at 5:30, Lord willing. If you're coming for prayer.